Thank you, Daniel.
Well, amen. Now, if that didn't touch your heart, that didn't light a little fire in your soul, I would suggest your wood's wet. Something wrong. Praise the Lord. Our God is worthy. Now, we may have missed it, but maybe everybody got the word. If you were looking for your signal for children's church, preschoolers, you can head back that way. So, amen. The rest of you, buckle your seat belts and turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. We worked our way through the first six chapters of Daniel. If you missed any of those messages, they're available on the website. You can go there and listen. But in chapter 7, we turn a corner. The first six chapters of Daniel are historical, telling about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, giving a lot of great stuff. I mean, super stuff. But then in chapter 7, we turn a corner, and we turn to prophecy. And so it's exciting, but boy, it's exciting. It gets interesting. And, you know, there's a couple things that can happen to us when we start getting into prophecy. We can become all interested in prophecy. We're just, you know, studying all these things and events and all these things that are going to come to pass. But I'm going to tell you, the book of Revelation says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And if your prophecy and your study of prophecy doesn't lead you to Jesus, then it is flawed. It is wrong. It is messed up. And so my point in this, I'm praying for us together that we will experience more of God's holiness, more of God's purity, and that we will be able to trust God more because of what we see here in these chapters of Daniel. We're going to look this morning in chapter 7. We're going to read the entire chapter. We're not going to get through the entire chapter. We will hit it again in more detail on some parts of it tonight. So if you're able to be here tonight, I strongly encourage you to come because this is... In reality, this is a key to understanding our world today. If you want to understand where we are today, what we're going to see in this passage is we're going to see God's view of the world today. And we're going to compare it a little bit to chapter 2 where we saw man's view of the world. All right. Well, let's get our Bibles, chapter 7. Unbuckle your seatbelt. Let's stand up in honor of the reading of God's holy word. And then we'll get fastened in again. You know, safety is our first concern. No, it's not. Here we go. Chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the 4th beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the 4th beast shall be the 4th kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, and we confess absolutely we need You today to speak to us, to be our teacher, to lead us through these verses, and to help us to have understanding. And Lord, then I pray that You'd help us to apply the Word of God to our hearts and minds, and Lord, that we would be changed, we would be different. Lord, I thank You so much for each one who's here. Now, Lord, speak to every one of our hearts. Meet us where we are this morning and draw us to Jesus, we pray. And we ask it together in His precious and mighty majestic name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, we have here a parallel to chapter 2. If you remember the story in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream? What did he see? A great image, a statue, like a man. And it was the head was of gold and then silver and then bronze and then iron mixed with clay and the 10 toes. Okay? And so Daniel helped him to understand that these were 4 kingdoms of which he was the head. He was the golden head. The nation of Babylon, the empire of Babylon, led by Nebuchadnezzar, was the golden head. Now, here's the interesting thing. From there, you go to the Medes and Persians, the silver. Then you go to the Grecians, the Greeks under Alexander the Great. And then finally to the Roman Empire. But here's the thing. In chapter 2, we kind of see the empires of the world as man sees. Gold, silver, bronze, iron. We see those things. But in chapter 7, we see the empires of the world as God sees them. How does God see them? God sees them as beast. Not as men with noble hearts and noble efforts and wonderful works and great things they're doing. He sees them as beast. Beginning with a lion, which is a symbol of ancient Babylon. They have symbols on the gates over there of a lion with wings. It's very, very appropriate and very fitting that first beast be pictured that way. But God looks at that and He sees. And even in chapter 2, we see the devolution. We see the degradation from kingdom to kingdom to kingdom to kingdom. Each one grows worse. Each one grows more violent. Each one is, it's less pure. And that's exactly what history has revealed to us. And that's why we are where we are today. Folks, things are not getting better and things will not get better. You know, and back in the late 1800s, there developed this idea, this liberal theology idea of the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. We're all children of God and we're going to gradually get better and better. And we're just going to, everything's going to get better until ultimately we usher in the kingdom of God because we just all come to believe this and know this. And that sounds good, except World War I, not World War I then. It was the Great War, because there was no World War II, right? You got to have two. The Great War absolutely blew the classical liberal theology out of the water, and that absolutely sank out of sight, and no one believes that anymore. Now they've got all kinds of other aberrations that they've taken to, but that is done and it's finished. We're not getting better. We're going down. The cycle is downward, downward, downward. And history is bearing out the Word of God. It is giving us this. So, just a couple things about these four beasts. And we've got more here than we can cover in about 10 sessions, but we're going to squeeze it into 2, Lord willing. So, the first is the lion and with eagle's wings. And that's appropriate. Nebuchadnezzar had the ability, and the armies of Babylon had the ability to move quickly. And that's a key, mobility in war is huge. It is a huge key to victory. And so they had the ability to move, and honestly, Nebuchadnezzar had an incredible kingdom. You know, he made the great hanging gardens, which were one of the ancient wonders of the world. You know, one of his wives. Fellas, you'll like this. One of his wives, okay, maybe you won't. Your wife will like this. One of his wives was from the hill country. And so when he brought her there to the flatlands, he wanted her to be happy. So he made these hanging gardens for her. He made these, it was beautiful. It was one of the ancient wonders of the world. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar had an incredible kingdom. And fellas, I'm not suggesting you do that for your wives, but why not? There you go. Okay. Here we have the lion with eagle's wings. But then notice, it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, that's kind of a cryptic thing. We don't know for sure. Most people believe that that's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar and the fact that God took his kingdom away. You remember when God took the kingdom away from him and he ended up in like living like an animal for 7 years, eating grass with the oxen and all that? Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Stay with me, Mari. Come on now. All right. So, many people, though, when we read this verse, they believe that that's the picture of Nebuchadnezzar, that he was taken from that stance of being a beast, basically, and given a man's heart or a man's mind. And Dr. J. Vernon McGee said that he believes that's an indication that Nebuchadnezzar was converted. He was genuinely saved. And so that, you know, we don't know that, but there you go. So there's the first beast. That's the first kingdom. And that was during Daniel's time when he first brought to Babylon. That was when Nebuchadnezzar took power. And so for 43 years, Nebuchadnezzar reigned, and then a few others after him until the Medes and Persians came in. Notice verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. A great contrast here between a lion and a bear. Okay? A lion is this kingly, majestic creature, powerful, just awe-inspiring, you know, just really something. A bear is also a little bit awe-inspiring, but nothing like the lion. It doesn't have the beauty of movement. It kind of lumbers along. And the Medes and the Persians, when they took power, you had the Medes and the Persians. The Persians were more powerful. But basically, their armies were enormous. Maybe 2.5 million man armies. Okay? Huge armies, and they lumbered across the country. It was not blitzkrieg, okay? I mean, this was, they just slowly, I mean, they brought their families with them and all. And I mean, it was just this, so it was a total contrast. And now, they were very powerful. Don't get me wrong. They were very powerful, but it was very unlike the Babylonians. All right? Well, that has been proven in history. Now, this one is like a bear, and it says it raised itself up on one side. And basically, most people believe that that's an indication of the fact that the Persians were so much stronger than the Medes. I know this is fascinating to all of you history buffs out there, and it really is. It's awesome. And it had three ribs in its mouth. Now, the ribs were the primary conquest of the Medes and the Persians, which would be Egypt, Lydia, and Babylon. And so these three areas, that was their main conquest. And, you know, the voice comes to the bear, get up and eat. Gorge yourself. Just get all you can. All right? Some of y'all probably want to make that your life verse. Maybe that wouldn't be good. Arise, devour much flesh. I haven't seen that one on a bumper sticker yet, but, you know, who knows. Okay. All right, so there's the Medes and the Persians. And, you know, that began with, we saw Darius. You remember the Feast of Belshazzar? That was the end of the Babylonian. Darius came in under Cyrus and took over. That was the beginning of the Medes and Persians Empire, took over Babylon. And so, move to verse 6. Verse 6 gives us the third beast. The third beast is the Greeks under Alexander the Great. Now, again, the picture shifts here from a lion to a bear and now to a leopard or a panther. Something more in that line. Not as strong as the lion, not as strong as the bear. But taking the speed, it is a leopard with four wings. Not eagle's wings, but fowl's wings. But four wings. So indicating, Matthew, great speed of movement. The ability to travel. And, you know, Alexander is still, you know, regarded as one of history's great generals. And, you know, the interesting thing here is to go back and you can read, you can study, you can go into the secular history books and you can find so much information, and then you discover that it just fits and it dovetails with the Word of God. And so this is talking about Greece. Well, Now, it's interesting here. We have the Grecian Empire. Now, you know, thus far, this is all history, right? We're not into prophecy yet. Now, it was prophecy at the time it was given, but it's been fulfilled since then. So, the leopard is four wings on its back, and it also had four heads. All right? Probably indicating that when Alexander finished, you know, in his early 30s, and basically he drank himself to death, he conquered everything in the world that he could find to conquer, and he was so upset and depressed that there was nothing more to conquer, that he just, you know, basically died. He just gave himself up to liquor and drinking, and he basically died at a very young age. He was in his early 30s when he accomplished this. There was nothing more for him. And one of the things that you'll see in every one of these kingdoms is what brings them down is when they begin to turn to drink, they begin to turn to liquor, they begin to turn to alcohol, they begin to focus on feeding their flesh, they begin to focus on the party. Okay? And folks, don't mistake this. Every great empire, man-made empire of the world that's ever been, has crumbled and fallen. And the American nation that we know will also crumble and fall. Now, we'd like to see it continue on. We'd like to see it be, you know, what we feel like it once was. You know, that it was a great place of freedom and a wonderful place where we honored God. And you know, and it could be that God will restore us to that again. Give us more time. But ultimately, folks, every great civilization that has ever been on the face of the earth has fallen, has crumbled from within primarily. And so when Alexander the Great died, the kingdom was split into four different parts. And a part of that was Greece and Macedon. Part was Thracia and Asia Minor. Part of it was Syria and Babylon. Part of it was Egypt and Israel. And so four different parts corresponding to the four heads. All right. So everybody okay? Okay. This is exciting. All right. Now let's get down to verse 7. Kind of a little break here. He introduces again, "After this I saw," verse 7, "in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast." Now this beast is not compared to a beast that we know. The lion, the bear, the leopard, we have a picture in our mind. We have some idea. This one was so terrible, it was so awful to behold, that there was no creature that we can think about that it would adequately portray this beast. It says it was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Well, this fourth beast is the Roman Empire. Okay? The Roman Empire. We're familiar with the Roman Empire. You know, by the time Jesus came onto the scene, the Roman Empire was firmly in control. And God used the Roman Empire. You know, it was during the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, that God brought the gospel into the world. You know, there's only been about 15,000 wars fought by mankind. There's only been a couple hundred years where there was actually peace in the world. We are a warlike people. I mean, I everything I see bears that out. I know at our house, you know, raising kids, we had weapons of every size and description, and they used them liberally upon each other sometimes, and had a great time. And it was all in fun. Maybe. Caleb says no. He might have been the beneficiary of some things there. But, you know, we are a warlike people. And we're given to that. And it's so common. And so, what do you see when you turn on the news today? War, war, war. Fighting. all of this aggression, everything. Well, the Roman Empire took it to another level. Very strong. Had an incredible power. And yet, also, you know, as it developed, began to develop weakness. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we saw the Roman Empire pictured as the legs of iron, but with the toes, the 10 toes of clay. And so a mixture that was not strong and kind of crumbled. But folks, we're still living with the fourth beast. We're still living in this Roman Empire day. That's still where we are today. And God is not done with that part. And prophecy has much still to do with the Roman Empire. And so when we see this vision from Daniel, he said he saw the four winds of the heaven upon the great sea, which typically is the Mediterranean, but the sea is generally speaks of the people of the earth. And when in prophecy, but the four winds, you know, we know about, you know, boy, yesterday morning got up and walked outside, and that north wind was, whew, it was brisk, and it was cold, and we're used to, you know, the north wind, or maybe the south wind blowing up those warm breezes in the summertime, and sometimes hot, but these are the four winds all at once. This is just this incredible moment when God is just moving. And out of that comes these four beasts, these four kings, these four empires. Well, the one thing about the Nebuchadnezzar's Roman Empire was the 10 toes. But in Daniel's vision, he said that this beast had 10 horns. But those correspond. Toes and horns, it's all part of the same animal. And so what we want to see here is that there are all these different parts. Now, you know, when you go to the Mediterranean and you begin to look all around the Mediterranean, you find all these countries that were involved in most all of these things. And it's interesting because even today, the center of the world is not New York City. It's not Beijing. It's not, you know, all these different... It's Jerusalem. You say, well, that's not the center of business. That's not the... No, but everything... I mean, how can a city like Jerusalem, which is not in scale, it's not that large, how can it dominate the headlines and dominate the news like it does? It's because God has, from the beginning, had His hand on that country of Israel, on that place, and He's still working there. And the fighting and all the stuff that's gone on and is still going on, well, that's just a part of the fact that there is still this battle going on. Well, the fourth beast is the Roman Empire. You've got all the keys right there around the Mediterranean, all those countries. And, well, you know, it's interesting. Today, we have what is called as the European Union. Today, I'm told that a lot of young people, German, Italian, French, don't like to be considered German or Italian or French. They like to be considered European. Folks, what we're seeing is the continual reshaping and remolding and remaking of the ancient Roman Empire. And it is not done. It is not complete. It is not over. But folks, this is one more part, one more component that is coming together for the end time. We don't know when the end is coming. We don't know what that's going to look like. We could have long, you know, wonderful, healthy lives, Steve. You know, we could just be blessed and God just, you know, we don't, or it could come tomorrow. We don't know when it's going to happen. But I believe that there is some really, some impetus here for us to say, you know, I need to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I think one of the things that we've gotten into in America is we've gotten into this sleepy Christianity. I'm sorry I brought that up. Because I realize some of you are trying to get your Sunday afternoon nap a little early. But you know what? That's where we are. We are in a place where people don't want to hear truth. They want something that'll, you know, make them wealthy and happy. They want something that'll, you know, give them this warm, fuzzy feeling way down deep inside. And it's not what we need. We need the truth of God's Word. And we need to understand that the day is coming. The day is coming when we're all going to stand before the Lord. Now, let's just close with this. We hadn't got anywhere near as far as we need to here. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to get into the Antichrist, which is the little horn. We're going to see some of the key components of what he does and that sort of thing. But let's not stop on the beast, and let's not, you know, dwell on that at this moment. We'll come back and we'll hit that tonight. But let's look at verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, here's what I would say to you as we kind of walk through this chapter. The first part of it, these beasts, what I would say is that the enemy is at work in our world. He is working overtime. He is working all the time. He's effective. He's powerful. He's crafty. He has schemes within his schemes. And he is very good at what he does, and political intrigue and all the junk that happens in our human kingdoms. Some of that is inspired by the enemy himself. Some of it comes from just the sinfulness of mankind. And we don't need a whole lot of help. You know, I don't need a lot of help. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. I don't need the devil. There's a lot of times I get in trouble all by myself. I don't need anybody to help me. And so the devil is mightily at work. But here in this verse 9, I want you also to know that God is still in control. Verse 9 says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down or were set in place, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, his throne like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. The Ancient of Days, the eternal God, the God of this universe, the God of the Bible, the God of all the world, the one true living God, the Most High God, took his place, sat upon his throne. And my friends, when he did, I want to tell you, his appearance was amazing. It says his clothing was radiant white. His hair like the whitest wool. His throne was a flame of fire. Well, I know, preacher. I understand you're getting excited about all that. That's nice. I'm happy for you. Oh my goodness, folks. One day you and I are going to stand in our flesh. We are going to stand and behold this wondrous God that we see described in the pages of Scripture. And in that moment, oh, there won't be any more sleepy Christianity. I mean, in that moment, there will only be the most heartfelt, fervent belief and worship. Now, for some, it will be too late. Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. But my friends, that's here that we've got to do that. We've got to confess Him now. We've got to bow the knee now. We've got to receive Him as our Lord and Savior today, now. Now is the time of salvation. Because when you stand before the Almighty King of the universe in judgment, without Jesus Christ, it is eternally too late. And this is your chance. You say, well, won't God give us a second chance? Rob Bell said He'd give everybody a second chance. Folks, the Bible says now is the time. And on that day, there are no excuses. Your mama can't get you out of it. Your lawyer can't get you out of it. Your therapist can't get you out of it. Nobody's going to be standing beside you on that day. You are going to stand. And you are going to behold this wondrous God that we see described right here. Well, it says here, He sat upon the throne and thousands ministered, served Him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him and the judgment began. And so what I see here is I see that God is still on the throne. He has not abdicated the throne. And ISIS, no matter what they may do, they are just another evil human kingdom upon this earth. They are just another attempt by the enemy to destroy, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. That's all that the enemy wants to do. That's what he majors in. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. We didn't get to the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. But that's what Jesus referenced when the high priest asked Him, "Are you the Son of God?" And He said, "You're going to see the Son of Man in the clouds and glory." And folks, one of these days, Jesus is coming back to this old world that we live in, and we grow weary of. And on that day, He's going to make everything right. Every wrong is going to be made right. And we're going to stand in His presence and there will be judgment. Now, there's all different kinds of judgment. But let me say this. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that is, you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you've received Jesus Christ by faith, you've trusted in Him, and the grace of God has become yours, and you've been born into the family of God, you've been adopted into His family, then I'm going to tell you, the judgment of your sins has already been completed. It was finished at the cross. At the cross, where I first believed. My friends, your judgment has already been complete. You don't have to worry on that day that you're going to stand and answer for all your sins. And I understand you may say, well, preacher, how does that work? Because I still mess up. I still do things wrong today. And what about those sins? Well, folks, every sin of my life and of your life, if you're saved by Jesus Christ, is under the blood of the Lamb. It has been forgiven. Now, here's what happens now. And let me just say this and we'll move on. But when we sin today, God will deal with us today. God will deal with us here and now. He will not wait till we get to heaven and deal with it. He will judge us. He will discipline us now because we're His children. Okay? So, He will deal with you as a son, as a daughter. And ultimately, when you stand before Him, you will have an advocate with you. You will have someone to stand beside you, and it will be Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He will say, "Father, this is one of mine." But if you don't have Christ in your heart, one day you will stand before God. You will stand alone. And on that day, the books will be opened. So what books are you talking about? I'm talking about the book of your life. And everything you've ever said or done will be opened up to the great tribunal of God. And you will answer for every idle word spoken, every Facebook post, every thought, every word, every action. If you've never received the gift of God's Son, I want to invite you and implore you today to receive Him now. Don't allow the enemy to whisper in your ear, "Oh, there's plenty of time. You're only 50 years old. You're only 70 years old. You've got lots of time. You're only 20 years. You're only 15. You've got lots of time to worry about these things later. My friend, we don't any of us know what a day will bring forth. We don't any of us know that. We don't know when the Lord will bring this thing to an end. We don't know that. I want to invite you and encourage you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Let's bow our heads. If you've never received Jesus Christ, and I mean if you haven't, you know it. You know, you can say, oh, I think I'm saved, or I hope I'm saved.